They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, joining me today is someone that I admire greatly, someone that I dubbed the Energizer Bunny many, many, many years ago because he was just on the go, and it doesn't sound like he has slowed down at all. State Representative Julio Robaina. Julio, thank you so much for being on the Commons with me today.
No, and thank you, Sue. It's a pleasure being back after so many years and continuing the battle that we started years ago.
Now, it sounds like you're busier than ever, and I thought you were pretty busy back when you were an active representative, just running around.
It's now twice as bad, and I'm twice as busy now in the private sector because we do continue to help people in this community with everything from fraud investigations to also alerting the media and educating the media and our state attorney and our law enforcement officers and what they need to be doing now that our state government really does nothing at all around here, where we're trying to help these individuals who live in these associations through other means. And we've had a string of interesting situations lately here in the state of Florida.
When I called you a while ago, I just want my listeners to get a feel, a sense for what's going on in your life. When I called you a minute ago to get you on the air, you answered the phone with, "What's your emergency?" On Friday, when I tried to reach you to get you to come on the show, it was nearly impossible. Your voice was hoarse, and you had about six lines going, and I think you had about 17 people in the room that you were yelling at.
That's correct. That's correct. That's the situation that we basically work with nowadays because it's gotten so bad in the state of Florida, and especially in the county which I live, which we've dubbed it the capital of fraud of the United States, and I mean fraud for everything, and that's Miami-Dade County, Florida.
You are instrumental in getting legislation enacted back in the day to get the DBPR to oversee some of the complaints that you've been getting or some of the complaints that the homeowners have.
That's correct, but again, what we did was just a drop in the bucket for the 8 years that I worked on legislation, and unfortunately, the legislature, in their horrible wisdom, has been chipping away at all the pro-owner legislation that we had. I will tell you that's probably 70% still stands, but the 30% that they've knocked away at has been done because special interests were suffering when we were turning the tables to benefit the owners over the special interest groups that make so much money off of this.
So the special interests win again.
In Florida, it's all about money. If you haven't seen it and don't know it by now, you would take all of about one day living here to realize that that's a fact.
Well, it's not just in Florida. I mean, it's all over the country. Look at what happened in Nevada, where they actually had the FBI in there for a number of years investigating all of the fraud. And it was the special interests again.
Well, the thing is, you just mentioned something that's key. In other states, they do bring in higher agencies, being the FBI or being other groups. But in Florida, it seems like we weaken the power of the authority, the checks and balances, as I like to call it, and it's getting worse. And what happens is, leave it to a state like ours, or especially to a county like ours, and I wasn't kidding, it's considered one of the worst counties for fraud in all of the United States because of the melting pot of people that come here from all other countries and get into this kind of stuff. And what we do is we don't give it the attention. We weaken the hands of the authorities. The state attorneys here barely prosecute cases. And people like myself and others, I won't take all the credit, we still work with the media because the media is a very powerful thing. They go out and expose what we've been telling them to look at for years. We give the prosecutors these cases chewed, basically in their laps, and they still are very hesitant to prosecute the crimes.
So let's tell people, let's get people caught up with what you're doing. You were termed out as a state legislator, and so you decided that protecting homeowners was your passion. So you started a management company, right?
We did. And what we did, we started a management company, but a very different management company. There's management companies, as you know, they come a dime a dozen anywhere and in any state.
I think they're called the special interest, Julio, right?
You got it. They are. And believe me, from the cries and the requirements and the need from people calling us and telling us, you know, what we need is who helps us when these management companies tear us apart? It basically came to light that what they needed was a different type of management company, the ones that deal with what are called distressed associations. And in Florida, there's a lot of those, because after a regular management company gets a hold of these people, they leave them in worse than distressed stages. So this is what we do. Our job is, and we're overwhelmed. I mean, we would love to be able to help even more people, but unfortunately we're not able to, because what we do is when your average management company destroys a community and leaves them in the red, and they have every kind of problem imaginable, including issues of what they did with their funds and everything, that's when we come in. So we have created a management company that deals with distressed properties, distressed condominiums, and we've saved a lot of them that were short of going into receivership. And those that know about receivership understand how horrible that is. Communities that were filing for bankruptcy, and more importantly, the ones where fraud had been committed, where people had just basically run off with their money and left these people sitting there with no place to turn.
Now, I read in one of the articles, and there's so much that's being written about HOAs in Florida. I read someplace that about 500 complaints had been filed in 1 month in Miami. In 1 month, was it? In Miami-Dade? Or was it last year?
No, I think what they're talking about is a running total of within a one-year gap.
So 500 complaints with the DBPR, and in 1 year,
they have only
been able to get to 81 of them.
And that's a good number, considering our DBPR. We've always told people that it was intended to regulate and to help, but again, with the issue of what special interest has done and the lawmakers, because the blame falls in the laps of the lawmakers. They've weakened them. They've taken away their powers. Basically, nowadays, they are what we call a toothless tiger. They can deal with some small administrative issues, but they can't deal with anything else. So it becomes a huge problem.
And according to one of the articles, El Nuevo Herald and Univision 23, managed to investigate a number of these complaints. And with just two reporters, I'm assuming, they were able
No, that's correct. It was two reporters for the two sets of newspapers and one reporter in Spanish media here.
And they were able to look into this a whole lot better than a government agency that was empowered or signed, tasked to take care of these issues.
You know, I'm embarrassed to tell you that our newspaper folks here, our journalists, do a better job than our actual state attorney or even some of the economic crime bureaus that we have in Miami-Dade County. So that's really sad, and that tells you the state of affairs here in Miami-Dade County.
Well, unfortunately, that's nationwide, Julio. It probably is worse there, but that seems to be the way things are happening in this country, which is a crying shame, since we hold ourselves up to be so much better than everybody else.
Well, I tell you what, I don't think we're offering the citizens of this state or the citizens of the United States the type of protection that we are supposed to provide in the form of government. When the private sector or journalists are the ones that are uncovering these kind of problems, which they really didn't even have to dedicate that much manpower or time to uncover them, you know something is wrong, and something definitely is a huge problem for people who have their biggest investments in their homes and what they're looking at in the future of the United States and in Florida.
What kinds of, it sounds like you are just absolutely buried under calls and complaints from people. Are these all from the HOAs that you manage, or is this across the state or across the area?
This is across Miami-Dade County and Broward. My business partner is the managing partner of our business. He is a state licensed community association manager. He's got a national license, and he's also been considered for several years in a row one of the top 10 in the business in the United States. And we, meaning him and myself, are basically, let's say, overwhelmed with just what's in our own backyard, which is Miami-Dade County. We at times reach out, and we do get calls still from the entire state of Florida, from other counties. But, shoo, the bottom line is it's just so bad here in just one county. And those who don't understand Florida, we have 67 counties. So one of them, Miami-Dade County being the worst, is a numb. I'm wondering what's happening to the other 66 in the state of Florida and what kind of disarray they're in.
I was reading some of the issues. I just read one article. I had to laugh because CAI has been complaining vociferously about the apathetic homeowners who just don't bother to vote. If they don't vote, then the whole concept of HOAs is going to fall into a pile of ashes and blow away. Yet in Miami-Dade, you have associations where the voting numbers are 115% of all residents are voting. How do you manage to do that,
well,
Julio?
Let me tell you something. That's I'm laughing, but it's no laughing matter. It just shows you the level of fraud. And again, I keep saying this, that if there's a fraud, we invented it here in Miami-Dade County. I mean, it basically originated probably from us here in Florida and in our county. But that's very simple. And again, it shows the manipulation, and I'll take a minute to explain how that monster works. That you got boards that you, well, can imagine have been sitting boards forever, and you can never get rid of them. Well, we found out that people nominate themselves to be candidates. They want to run for those boards to remove those, what we like to say, dictatorships that have been there forever. And they can't. Well, now we realize one of the reasons why they can't. What we couldn't figure out is if in a straw poll, the new group had the votes to win, but then when the actual election was had, they would lose. We just couldn't figure it out until we uncovered what is being done, working in conjunction with some of the property management companies. It's very simple. What they do is they know the existing board. They know who their supporters are. Let's say there's 100 voters. Let's say they've got 40. And let's say the new board's got, that's attempting to get in, has 60. Well, what they do is they go ahead and duplicate the ballots of those that they know will not support the current board. They submit duplicate ballots, you know, falsified. And by law, it basically annihilates and removes it creates two ballots. In other words, and when there's two ballots, both of them are disqualified, so they're out. And so what happens? The 40 votes get in, and these people continue to do this. We have election monitors that have seen this kind of stuff, but again, cut and dry, chewed, given into the laps of the authorities, and they do nothing about this kind of stuff. That's really sad and pathetic.
So what happens? What do you do when people come to you and say, hey, you know, here is a falsified proxy. I did not sign this. This is not my signature. It is. What do you do? I mean, do you have the authority?
Let me tell you what we do with that. If it's fraud, a fraud is a fraud and a fraud is a crime. So that kind of stuff, something that we're working on, which will be the first of its kind here ever in the history of Miami-Dade County and the history of Florida, is the local government, your county government, which doesn't really have anything to do with associations and so forth, is creating a task force, a fraud task force. Years ago, we had problems here with other types of fraud, basically a lot of the mortgage frauds that were occurring, not only in Florida, all around the United States, and this county had a mortgage task fraud. Guess what? It's gotten so bad here that we have now gotten the support of our county commissioners, and one in particular, to create a task of what they're going to call an association fraud task force. These are officers that will be able to come in, pull people's computers, look at what everything is happening on site, similar to what you see when they go in and raid somebody who's committing Medicare or Medicaid fraud. And finally, I think we're going to have a tool that's going to stop this nonsense. So those fraud, whether it's a ballot, whether it's with funds, those who end up in the lap of authorities will have the power and will come in, you know, once the case is put in their lap. And that's what we're hoping will be the salvation. Because currently, all we do is refer it to the state of Florida. And again, we've said it, it's a joke. They get a slap on the hand, they get a letter saying, you made a mistake, do it again.
You made a mistake, do it again. I like that. But in essence, that's what's happening, isn't it?
It is.
I want to come back to task force. And let's go there now. Back when you were trying to get things started or as a representative, you had a task force and you traveled around the state of Florida meeting with people and talking to people. And I remember you came on and talked about some of the stories that you heard when you were talking to the, actually out there, talking to the citizens.
We did. And the great thing about it is that we were also given subpoena power and the power to do what authorities should be doing. And it was incredible. For the short period of time that we traveled around every nick and cranny of the state of Florida, and you know this is a pretty long state here, we were able to do with a little temporary board more than what the authorities have done in years. We were able to subpoena documents. We were able to basically force people to do what they were doing. And then we would also refer cases to the economic crimes units in different counties for the sake of prosecuting and going after these kind of people that were committing fraud. So I'm glad you brought this up because it tells you that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to keep the wheel in place and work with it and make sure that everyone has that ability to have a wheel like this in their communities. This is not brain surgery. This doesn't require any kind of additional type of planning. We know what works. We need to execute it, and we need to provide it in all communities so that everyone will have this tool that they'll need to be able to stop this. I guarantee you that when this is implemented, what we're doing here in Miami-Dade County with this Association Fraud Task Force, and other counties pick it up in other states, you're not even going to need an arm of the government regulating you or not. We're going to have the ability to go after what is the number one problem, which is fraud. And again, remember, fraud means financial manipulating of boards, falsifying of documents. All of those things should be addressed.
So who's on these task forces? When you were doing this, it was you, you were a representative. Who else was going around the state with you?
Well, we had that task force was all the other lawmakers that represented other communities around the state of Florida, the attorneys that the governor and the speaker had appointed to our committee. So it was something that intended to be more for policy making, but due to the powers they were given, turned out to be even more than just the policymakers. We were actually more along the lines of the regulators of the industry of associations in Florida, and mostly condos. Because remember, in Florida, homeowner associations are still fighting. And I want to thank publicly a gentleman by the name of Jan Bergman, who's been trying for years endlessly to try to get homeowner associations regulated. And they've been killing that legislation year after year because of the special interest. But back to the point, once this is set up and what we were doing, if all of these powers can and will and currently exist in law enforcement, meaning detectives from law enforcement agencies who will have the subpoena power, who will have the power to come in and take the laptops and see what they're doing, that will be able to come in and take whatever evidence is available, and then work hand in hand with the state attorneys from the different counties and states to basically prepare the criminal charges and to start prosecuting the perpetrators.
How easy is it for the special interests to manipulate and buy some of these people on a task force? Suppose we were to set up task forces in every state where they would just go around from community to community, talk to the residents to find out what's going on, and then start looking into the allegations.
Well, let me tell you, I think it's easier for these special interests to buy out and buy the support of the elected officials than it is for them to go and try to buy out law enforcement officers. I back these men and women in law enforcement. There always is one or two bad apples, but the super majority of these men and women are law-abiding citizens. They're into law because they want to go after this kind of stuff. And I doubt very much they're going to let their career go to the wayside because somebody tries to pay them off to turn a blind eye to an investigation that they're doing in a certain community. So I think that that is going to be very, very limited to, I'd say, less than a couple of percentage points. I don't see that happening to law enforcement officers in general. Because remember, these men and women have the ability and every day investigate white-collar crimes. And a lot of these are white-collar crimes. So again, I place my faith in them more than I do leaving it in the hands of the elected body.
So you think that that would be how likely would it be that the states would allocate a certain number of law enforcement to set up these task forces?
There we go. And that, I'm glad you brought that up. I tried to do this at the state level. In our state, there's a trust fund every year that every condo association unit owner pays a couple dollars. And that trust fund would accumulate almost $7, $8 million a year.
Wow.
And what I wanted to do was start the state police department task force with only taking I think at that time we were requesting $300,000 of the association unit owner's money from that $7 million trust account that creates every year, and we could have started. You know, the general operating account of Florida, and the money was used for other things except of associations. Now, what we're implementing, we're not going to have to count on the state of Florida. This is going to be done through the normal Miami-Dade County Commission budget. So it's going to be done through local government's budget. So again, I feel much more comfortable that these folks are going to do the right thing. And this is a taxpayer money, as I say, closer to the people than what was going on at the state capitol in Florida.
Now, I like that. But like you said, there are 67 counties in Florida. And so trying to go in and convince 67 counties to set up something similar. And I think it needs to be done. I'm just wondering how easy it's going
to be.
Well,
it's there. It's there. Let me tell you that myself and John Bergman back in 2008 created a course which should have been implemented throughout the entire state of Florida. And it's basically a course where in whatever the 67 counties you live or whatever those counties have for law enforcement, some have one police department, meaning sheriffs, or they have their own local municipal government and so forth. These individuals basically have a course ready to go. They get credits to take the course, and more importantly, they can be certified and quickly put together their own little task force. So even the training is in place. The course is in place. All we need is the bodies. And I will tell you that all it takes is people like yourself with programs like this and our local media, like you read, the El Nuevo Herald and Miami Herald writing stories about this, that it will catch on like wildfire, because we've already gotten some calls from people in Broward and so forth. So it does catch on, especially when we start seeing soon in the front pages of the local newspapers and on your local 6 o'clock or 11 o'clock news, you start seeing people being carted away in handcuffs for stealing from these associations.
You know, we watched that happen in Nevada, and it was business as usual. They just keep doing it. It's like these guys never learn. 20 years ago, I think the mayor of New York City cleaned up all of the co-ops and condos in New York City, and it jailed all the perpetrators, cleaned the place up, and the next year they were back at it again. Business as usual. They're just going to do it and do it and do it.
Yeah, but again, I've been following all of that situation. And again, Chu, I think it needs to get down to the local level. When you leave it to the state of Nevada and it's at the state level, I really start thinking that these state-level governments, which are the, at least at the state, the largest and have the majority of responsibilities when it comes to the issues of associations, it's not a priority. They do a little bit to try to quiet the people who are saying, look at us, and then after that they move on to something else. That's why I think the solution will never be at the state level and counting on the state to put a Band-Aid on it. I think it's going to end up coming down to the local levels, closest to the people.
In Nevada, it was the FBI, because it
right,
went...
Right, and that's a federal level. And so they, you know very well that if you were to interview an FBI agent, on his priority list, if you told him about association issues, it probably would sit down there as low as anything else on their priority list. It's just, they're going to tell you, they've got too many other larger type scale crimes to deal with, and that's why we don't get the attention.
Oh, yeah. No, it was because it ended up being sort of across states between California and Nevada that the FBI got involved. But you're absolutely correct. When it comes down to the actual state, the panel that's been put in place over there is made up of all special interests, with maybe a token homeowner in or two. But basically, it's the special interests that are over there brainwashing people and determining that there really isn't a problem. Yet the FBI spent years in there unearthing election fraud, like you're doing right now in Florida, unearthing all kinds of fraud and criminal activity.
And it's a shame, again, that when it's at that level, it's just not going to get the attention. My business partner has dedicated years to investigating these issues also. That's why, you know, we have a business partnership that I always say was made in heaven. God found two good people that had integrity and ethics and wanted to help people out. And I encourage you all to look at his work. He put together a website called condoreceiver.com. And look at it. Look at what we're doing for him. This gentleman has worked at night when he could be with his family, with his wife and kids, or working on his business. What does he do? He creates a website, condoreceiver.com, so that he can educate even judges. You know how sad it is when I got circuit court judges looking at the website, understanding what types of frauds, and he built that site himself, putting in news clips and depositions and videos and you name it. And it's become a learning tool, which has led also the media to now chime in on that website and say, oh my God, look what's going on. This guy's been doing this all along. And where are we? So, you know, this is why people like my partner, Jose Pazos, or people like Jan Bergman, that's been doing this for years, need to be commended and congratulated for putting their personal time. But look at these things. And those who think that there's no solution, then I don't believe that. I'm a very positive person. I try to believe that if we put our energy behind anything, there's nothing that we cannot do. But again, we've got the limelight. And people like myself and everyone listening to the show, you guys have the power to pressure your checks and balances, your local governments, your local police departments, your local economic crime units, and your local state attorneys. It's got to be done. We can't give up this fight, or we're going to lose our homes.
No, I agree with you. And a lot of people are losing their homes. I mean, there's so much. I mean, you hear from a lot of people. I also hear from a lot of people, and have for the last 16 years that I've been doing this show. And people just don't know where to turn. And the thing.
Well, again, I think they have tried to turn, but where they turn, they have found a roadblock or something that was useless, and they're frustrated as heck.
Yeah.
So that is the reason why, you know, myself now being in the private sector, I continue to help people. I mean, every day, I told you, I get 20 calls, 30 calls an hour sometimes on these things, and I still try to help as many of them as I can. And you know what the power is? I'm able to educate them and explain to them, hey, you have the right to do this, and you can do this, and you can do that. And it does go a long ways. We are definitely able to help these individuals out. But again, we need to work smart and not continue to reinvent the wheel. Look at what we're doing down here. Look at what we're talking about. We got a huge problem, but every day we're nipping away at a little bit of it. And I'm going to again hang my hat on these condo or these association fraud task force at the local level. Forget about the states. We're wasting our time. They're not doing much at all. These are the guys that the same way they investigate a crime, a white-collar crime, they need to be investigating this other type of white-collar crime called association crimes.
In some of the, I'm going to go back to what's actually happened. In some of the associations, they're committing fraud and they're controlling who gets on the board, and the people who get on the board are puppets because they're easily manipulated by the management companies and by the attorneys who are in bed with the managers. I mean, those, they're their clients, right?
That's correct.
But some condos or some associations have said, we're not going to have, we haven't had elections because they're too expensive and we can't afford them.
And that is ridiculous. That's completely circumventing the laws. And the laws, when it comes to elections, are pretty much, you know, the same on a state-to-state basis. But again, enforcing it, if you have state government with that type of weak enforcement, nothing's going to change unless, you know, these things are changed.
But realistically, Julio, local municipal governments mandate associations. I know you have a lot of condos where you are, but there are a lot of homeowner associations as well that kind of fall into all of this. They mandate them because they want to collect the taxes and not deal with it. It's a civic issue. Go talk to your board members. We don't want to handle it.
And in Florida, it's the same deal. You know that they're not regulated, so everything ends up in a courtroom. It becomes a civil matter.
Right, absolutely. And when you go to the police, you get the same thing. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's a civil matter. We just cannot deal with this. Go talk to your board. So how, and I know that at least Virginia and a lot of other states also seem to have these dollar per door or sort of registration fees and all of that. It's just another way for the states to make more money off the backs of the homeowners without really providing anything. The allegation is that we're going to provide you with some way of some form of oversight, and there isn't any.
But see, this is the deal. You just said it right there. They take the money that was intended for oversight and for enforcement, and they're raiding these particular funds every year, and they're supplementing everything from parks to roads to you name it, but they're doing nothing for the associations. You know, somebody needs to step up, and here's times where I wish I were still in the legislature to maybe take those funds, since Tallahassee, or in our case, our capital at the state level, doesn't do what it's supposed to do with that money. And let me be clear, unfortunately, by law, they're able to raid those funds and use it however they see fit. But that said, it would be nice if there could be legislation created to take that money, and then the number we had, around $7 million a year, just take it and funnel that money down to, meaning all the different 67 municipalities, and say, we're going to basically pay for your group of investigators, of police officers in your community to provide oversight and the investigative power. It's not brain surgery. It could easily be done, but the power of the special interest and the lobbying is what's got everything messed up. And if you want to apply that, I think it's got our whole country pretty well messed up.
It has. Oh, absolutely, it has. I do know that what's happening in Virginia, and I can't speak for other states, but what's happening in Virginia is that the industry is actually controlling that money that's being collected as a annual registration fee from each HOA. And they're deciding what the laws are going to be. They're using, I don't know what they're doing. They're buying legislators left, right, and center. So the whole thing, I mean, it just goes from bad to worse to worse to worse.
Well, you know, that's a key point. And remember, when you have a group that's established, be it a fraud task force or be it a committee that advises anybody, the sad part is that the appointments or the people that are put on those committees to serve are normally special interest groups. That's not what we're doing here in Florida. These type of association fraud task force will only have a membership of law enforcement people and maybe one or two people that are not in any way, shape, or form associated with a special interest with some type of agenda for themselves. Because what good is it to create it, as you've said many times, Shu, these types of boards or groups, if you fill it with the wrong people that basically are going to take advantage of it to benefit themselves and not what the true intent of it was? That's the thing.
One of my big bugaboos, one thing that I absolutely hate and detest beyond words, is the association's ability to fine people. And I'm not even going to go down the road, but fines. When an association, when a homeowner is fined, who gets that money, the management company or the association?
No. Fines go into the operating account for the community. The management company should not be making any money off fining people in these communities. It's basically a funds that go back into the operating account or the coffers of the community. And remember, that gets to be a double-edged sword. When you get these dictatorships, they use the fine to attack individuals and make their life miserable. And you know, that's probably one of the worst misuses of these particular fines. However, you do have people, because I'm now in the private sector and I look at it, and I know there's people that really do deserve to be fined. They're basically adversarial. They don't want to do whatever that's required at minimum just to keep their particular property looking good. And, you know, there's people that like to give associations a hard time. But that's not the norm. The norm that we see, it's become a tool to go after people that the board doesn't like. And that is, again, the wrong use.
So how many management companies, and I'm excluding yours because I know you and I know where your heart is, and I know that this would never happen, but how many management companies, and I know there are a lot of them, who use fines to augment their income?
Well, a lot. And again, you want to talk about bad management companies, again, I invite you all to go to that website. Go to condoreceiver.com and look at it. We have actually named other management companies. And, you know, I'm not the most liked guy in the world anymore in that business down here because they know I'm exposing people in the business that are doing what they're not supposed to do. So we name them. We've got a bunch of them that we have seen what they've done. We've put it out there. You have no idea how many times they threaten to sue us, that what we're doing is illegal. And we always tell them, sue us. If you got nothing to be afraid of, then you know what? Quit complaining and do what you got to do. So there is a lot. The answer to your question, absolutely abusive property management companies. And I always tell people, you know when things are bad, when a management company has one name 1 week, a week later a story comes out on them, and 2 weeks later it's got a different name. The corporation name has been changed, and you know nobody knows it was, oh, that was the ones that were in the paper a week ago under a different name. Another joke, another problem that occurs.
It sounds like the Mad Hatter's Tea Party.
It's worse. Just follow
these people. They just change their names all the time, reinvent themselves, right?
They do, and unfortunately, by law, again, it's allowable, and that's why that kind of nonsense continues to perpetuate.
Julio, I think it cost you moving up to the state senate.
Because, that's correct.
because you were tied with these crazy homeowners who don't like being robbed.
That is correct. And now you know why most elected officials don't want to touch this subject with a 10-foot pole, because of the repercussions of not only the people that are affiliated with this money-making machine called associations, but also the deal with the lobbying groups and a whole bunch of other individuals that we just tend to upset when you ruffle the feathers of the status quo.
But I think that the special interests really went after you when you started running, when you ran for Senate.
Absolutely. The money that was raised was unbelievable. And I will tell you that the worst part about the whole deal is that the unit owners have nothing to give you except a vote of confidence. But the money comes from the special interest groups, which spend hundreds of thousands of dollars making sure that not only myself, but other people, because remember, I had a whole group of state representatives and other good senators that were trying to help the people of Florida. They spent lots of money making sure that they wouldn't get in again, because remember, it might have cost them $1 million to keep us out from getting elected to these positions, but they were facing the possibility of losing millions and millions and millions of dollars if we got in and changed the laws.
Did any of the special interests reach out to you and try to buy you?
Or what they did,
educate you?
Let me tell you what it was. You know, I call a spade a spade. A lot of them would offer me employment in their law firms. A lot of them offered me, and I'm not a lawyer. How do you like that one? They wanted me to be some public relation guy in their law firms, and a lot of people offered a lot of things. But you got to understand, if you know who I am, you'll understand there's one thing that no election can buy, no money can buy, and that's my ability to fall asleep at night like I do so comfortably. Because every night I go to bed and I know that I've done good for at least 6 to 10 people a day, that I guide in the right direction, that I tell them how they need to act. And I won't even tell you how many a week I try to explain to them their rights and how to fight these bullies that basically are the ones that are at the head of these boards and these associations. So, yes, the offers are plentiful. And you can tell somebody when somebody has sold you out down the river, or whether somebody has stayed true to the cause. And that's why in my business, people reach out to me just as if I were back in office, because they know they can trust us, that we are going to help them out. 99% of the time, all the work that I do, I don't charge a penny. I just keep telling them what to do, where to go, what attorneys to stay away from, which ones are the good ones, who are the different people they can turn to. And I love it because, you know, my thing is that if I educate you, education is power. And if you know at least what you're doing, you'll get a couple more people. And I've seen communities that only one or two people started with the cause, and all of a sudden they got 10, 15, 20. And those people took back their own community, Shu. So they have to step up.
Julio, it's like, I keep saying, it's like a ping pong game. You can take it over. But then the other side's not going to like it, and they're going to take it over. And you can just sit there, and you can turn your head from one side of the table to the other side and back again. The whole structure, the whole system is flawed, I think. There's too
well,
much...
Well, I agree. And that's why we thought here in Florida it would be a good idea, it never passed, to have a form of a term limit on how long these people can serve. And when they were done and they could not run again. Unfortunately, the rule or the reason that was overturned was because they claimed that these associations could not find enough volunteers. So they had to give them a chance to run again.
Sounds like so CAI.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I think that anybody wouldn't mind if the community were working well and things were fine and had people with integrity, they wouldn't mind. The reason people don't want to get involved is because of all the problems. So that's a nonsense, sorry excuse that they use in order to eliminate the ability of term limits for these board members.
Don't go away yet.
I'm here.
I know it's really busy there, and I just love having you back on again. It's been such a long time. I have always told you that if you ever run for any office and I can vote, you have got my vote. No question.
I appreciate that, but I will tell you something. After being in public office and understanding that unless this is what I tell everybody, because that offer comes all the time. You should run again. You should run again. My answer is what I'm about to tell you. Unless they find a group of people to all get elected together at the same time, that's the only way, because to go back into the pit alone with everyone else against you is really not a very comfortable, not a very enticing situation to have to go back into.
I think we'll take a page out of the HOA or condo book and make sure that we stuff the board with like-minded people so that we can get something done. But no, I'm talking about the whole concept of an HOA. I know a condo is a high rise, and you know that's a whole different form of ownership, but do you really need all of the powers that the board has? Do they need to be able to tell you what time to get up and how big your dog is and what kind of shampoo you may use and what you can wear when you're in the hallway? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, I will agree that having been on the public side and on the private side and understanding it, the answer to your question is no, absolutely not. I think that if people move into a community and they're given certain rules and regulations to abide by, and of course their condo or homeowner association docs, and they familiarize themselves with it and learn to live under those guidelines, and more importantly, respect thy neighbor.
That's the big thing.
Then you really don't need all this oversight. You're creating another government within a government who has another government and then another government.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
And it's just way too much government.
Yeah, right. I so completely and totally agree with you. And I think that if things make sense, if there's a reason for a rule, it's perfect. But when you have rules just to create conflict, just to create business for the special interests, that's what we're looking at and that's what we're seeing.
I think this monster has grown to an epic size, and I think that this is a result of people that decided not to abide by what living in an association environment was meant to be. And then what do? We think we can fix it by creating more and more laws and more legislation and more whatever, call it the bureaucracies, and that's what leads us into these situations. I've seen little community, well, I've seen big communities with as little as three board members, and they work almost as a fine-tuned machine, almost like Disney World does here in Florida. And then I've seen associations with 20 units with five board members, and it's total chaos. So there's an example. It really, really depends on are we overkilling it. But I need to tell you that the blame for all of this need for fines and for big boards and for all these rules and regulations and stuff is as a result of a few people that really decide not to trust thy neighbor, not to believe and respect thy neighbor, and not to live within what are the rules and regulations and the bylaws of the community. Really a sad state of affairs.
Well, I've seen some of the worst cases have been the smaller associations where you have as few as four units, and you have three people who gang up on a fourth member, and they come up with these rules that they're allowed to adopt with a majority. And so they create these rules that apply only to this fourth member. And now they're in a position of power. When you move in, you buy, you've got these rights, and your three neighbors decide they want you out, they don't like you. Then they come together and they create a rule and adopt a rule, and they vote on it, and a majority, 75% of the vote, rule passes. They go after the fourth neighbor. I mean, I've heard from people like that, from the neighbor.
And that's going to continue. But again, who's the power to be that needs to change that? Unfortunately, that goes back to your state governments that are the ones that are going to have to deal with that. I'm hoping that at least in Florida we're going to have some brighter days now that hopefully we'll be dealing with the number one complaint, which are criminal-type cases, financial, the missing of money, the misusing of money, the kickbacks, all that other stuff that I'm sure you've spoken about a million times on other shows. But the part that really decides how we regulate these associations, what we do, that's going to be an interesting battle because, again, the powers that be there will be elected officials that are easily swayed and bought by money from campaigns and so forth, and these lobbyists, as we call it, special interests. So I don't know if in my lifetime I will see that. At least I will deal with it every day, one step at a time, one person at a time, and try to guide everybody in the right direction.
How many people in your management company?
We have approximately seven people. Seven people. And our phones do not stop all day long. It's literally one phone call after another. And the saddest part about it is most of the calls are people asking questions because they have concerns. Some of them know myself, which they've known me for years in office. My business partner, which is an individual who does a lot of radio and TV shows, I can tell you he's an expert. He speaks about the strong ethical side of what it means to be a manager, how management companies are supposed to behave. And I will tell you, since he went ahead and created that website, that condoreceiver.com website, I tell you that he's got no life. Now, I guess, remember how you used to say, Julio, there are only another one of you? Well, Mr. Jose Pazos became a clone of Mr. Robina. And there is good people like that, and he is now overwhelmed. You know, at least I have a girlfriend, but I don't have any kids. He's got two small children and a wife and a very busy life, and he still continues to give to this community pro bono, no charges.
Well,
if you're listening out there, help people out. It's not all about the money. It's help them out.
I'd like to have him on the show, Julio.
I would love him for you to do a show with him so he can tell you about. He's got so many experiences that come from more of his world of the managing side of the business and what he's seen and what he's uncovered that I think it would make a very interesting show. And I hope that managers would tune in to listen to Mr. Jose Pazos and what he could tell you. I will definitely set that up for you.
You're a sweetheart. Thank you so much. Keep going, Energizer Bunny. We still love you with every ounce of our beings.
Well, thank you. I may not be around as often, but, you know, we love you. And more importantly, I love what you're all about and what you do for the people of your state. And remember, it's never too late. It's warm here in Florida. You may want to move over here and bring that radio show here to Florida.
You never know what will happen, Julio. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a great evening.
You too.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.